If you drink alcohol, even moderately, you could be putting your brain at risk. A new study by the University of Oxford and the University College London analyzed data on 550 people followed between 1995 and 2015. The study concluded that compared to non-drinkers, moderate consumers were 3 times more likely to develop impaired function in the part of the brain that processes memory and spatial orientation, the hippocampus. So how concerned should you be if you drink, say, 1 or 2 alcoholic beverages per day? Dr. Bill Haining is a physician, John A. Burns School of Medicine professor, and director at large of the American Society of Addiction Medicine. He gave us his take.
The study asks the seminal question of whether there is injury to the brain as a result of moderate intake. We all remember, because it kind of hit us between the eyes several years ago when a study came out purporting that the consumption of 2 glasses of wine per day could improve cardiac health, that in fact it was somehow or another beneficial if you drank a couple glasses of wine each day, but no more than that. Now, note the question that was one of cardiac health was injury to the heart. And there really wasn't any long-term follow-on to discuss any of the other organs or target organ systems, not even liver. As you can imagine, an awful lot of people with industrial industry, not limited to the wine and spirits industry, were happy to sign on to the notion that alcohol had somehow become a health food. This study, if you go back and look at the British Medical Journal study to which the paper actually refers, is done under pretty good control circumstances and with high-quality peer review, and it is intended to look at the longer-term effect of alcohol on the brain and brain function in particular.
You're talking about the Whitehall 2 study.
Yeah, exactly. This is the one that actually just came out about a month or so ago relating to approximately 500 folks, but they were followed over a good long period of time. And what they demonstrated was a fairly dose-related impact of alcohol on brain function over a long period of time. So if you had 1 drink per day, you had little impact. If you had more than 1 drink per day, you had a correspondingly higher impact on memory and to some extent on fluency, on capacity to express language.
Because they look at these individuals over 30 years,
yep,
that kind of, you know, longitudinal data is not something with which you have a great deal of others to compare. This seemed to be rather singular in its approach.
Yes, and as it happens, probably pretty reliable in that context. For the folks who are listening who don't have a particular need to read medical literature on a regular basis, there are really 2 ways to improve the quality of the study. One is to increase the size of the study population, and the other is to increase the length of time over which you are doing the study. In both cases, as either improves or increases, then the quality of the study is generally held to increase. There are lots of exceptions to that, lots of ways you can sabotage a study by not paying attention to how you've selected the population or the kind of confounding factors.
Could I ask you if you're troubled at all by the fact that when the participants began the study, they were all roughly aged 43, and that's already at a point where people are approaching midlife or that other things may have set in. Should they have looked at people, say, maybe who were 30 or 33?
Yeah, that would have been ideal, and you've identified one of those exceptions in which you can make a selection bias. What tends to balance that to some extent is that these folks were followed over a long enough period of time with controls that in spite of starting it at a midpoint where damage might already have occurred, what you did see was a divergence over time between those who were drinking and those who were not. That divergence is probably what accounts for the conclusions by the authors that alcohol isn't necessarily a health food for your brain.
The fact that we have so many pieces of media that are directly targeting younger drinkers, you know, anybody who is at the age in which you can legally drink, to people who are in their 30s, 40s, it's seen as being, as perhaps it always was, a part of the social fabric and how we entertain ourselves and how we entertain others. Do you think this study is going to begin to modify that at all?
Not by itself. I have a funny feeling that, I mean, there's so much material out there bearing on this subject that is at least mildly contradictory that I don't know that everybody's going to make a sharp left turn and stop drinking alcohol as a result. You know, the objective of any ethical physician should be to put him or herself out of business. So if I take this article in trying to advise my patients, I've got to keep in mind that it's not my job to control somebody's behaviors, but actually just to provide them intelligent warnings or to act as a watchdog relating to their health. I'd have to say that taken in context, what this does is add to existing evidence more than modify it that alcohol is a brain toxin. I kind of jokingly point out to folks that when Admiral Nelson was killed at the Battle of the Nile, they shipped him home in HMS Victory in a keg of brandy so that his body would not decompose. Alcohol is an excellent preservative, and it is that because it tends to, you know, kill tissue. It tends to kill organisms. Less flippantly, the people who would be most interested in seeing or in targeting the younger population are the ones that you've heard me jokingly refer to as the folks who say drink, but drink responsibly.
I wanted to ask you about that because we hear that message now virtually in every ad. Drink responsibly. So-and-so encourage you to drink responsibly. And now we're looking at the word moderately possibly coming in there too, which would seem to thwart the entire industry that's trying to bring up new drinkers.
National Institutes on Alcoholism and Alcohol Abuse has a defined scale for what constitutes moderate versus at-risk drinking, and it's available on web. Bluntly, I have never drunk, and I don't know anybody who has, in order to become responsible in my life. Okay, that hasn't been the objective or purpose when I or anybody else drinks alcohol. I don't go and pull down a six-pack and then say, well, that was great. I think I'll go adopt an orphan. We drink in large part because of the behavioral effects, and I don't know that even hearing that there is some impact on brain, that most folks won't say, okay, I'm going to balance the enjoyment that I get from this against what a bunch of rat lab and even human clinical trial scientists are telling me is a progressive impact over time. People have an enormous capacity for ignoring inconvenient evidence.
True. But that evidence keeps mounting. And I wanted to ask you about the evidence that we talk about in the U.S. versus, for example, the evidence that's come from the U.K., including this study. The U.K. government has tightened their guidance on alcohol consumption. They say that there are new pieces of evidence that would link more alcohol to increased risk of cancer. They're also telling people that it's not a good idea to drink more than 14 units per week. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering what that 14 units translates to in American terms. They're saying maybe a couple of pints, maybe 4 pints of strong beer, or maybe 5 or so glasses of wine a week. But what does that translate to when we talk to people here, you know, drink a day?
Well, it's 8 grams per unit is what they set as their intake. And for practical purposes, 1 ounce, which we annoyingly continue to use as the measure of volume or weight here, is a little over 28 grams. If I were to translate what they're talking about, 14 grams is a little over half an ounce, and that's in the pure alcohol sense. We're talking about 9 standard U.S. drinks per week. A standard drink is... Interestingly, we've organized it so that a beer and a standard glass of wine or 6-ounce glass of wine and a shot glass of whiskey all contain approximately the same amount of actual ethyl alcohol. So we're talking about a pretty modest amount. It's about 9 standard drinks per week that the Brits are talking about. And our own standard for moderate drinking is only a little bit more than that, about 14.
Just to wrap this up in terms of your takeaway as a physician, as someone who is concerned about toxins and brain function and many of the things that we've already talked about, what's the big takeaway?
Well, as with anything, too much water, too much oxygen, too much of any given medication, excess increases risk to the degree that it is possible actually to achieve zero alcohol intake, you'll have zero consequences of alcohol intake.
All right, I guess I'll take those odds. Thanks so much, Dr. Bill Haining.
You bet.
Dr. Bill Haining is a physician and professor of psychiatry at the University of Hawaii's Johnny Burns School of Medicine. He's also a director at large of the American Society of Addiction Medicine. The moderate alcohol consumption study was published this month in the British Medical Journal, now called the BMJ. And if you're thinking that having only a few drinks per week gets you off the hook, think again. The researchers also found that light drinking offered no protection against hippocampal atrophy.